Let's hear from God's word in scripture from 1 Peter. We pick up the reading at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8.
Finally, all of you should be one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insult when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and He will bless you for it. For the scripture says, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and His ears are open to the prayers. But the Lord turns His face against those who do evil. Now, who will want to arm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord as your life. You must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear that if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but He died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but He was raised to life in the Spirit. So He went and preached the Spirit in prison. Those who disobeyed God long ago, when God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat, only 8 people were saved from drowning in their terrible flood. And that water is a picture of baptism, which now saves you. Not by removing death from your body, but as a response to God from a clean conscience. It is effective of the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Now Christ has gone to heaven. He is seated in the place of honor next to God. And all the angels and the authorities and powers accept His authority. The words of the Lord.
Thank you. Let's start by talking about keeping a clear conscience. That idea is twice in our Bible reading this morning. First of all, Peter tells us that we are to keep a clear conscience while we are explaining the gospel to other people. We have been saying all the way through, looking at 1 Peter, that the church is here to show the world who Jesus is, that our love for God, that our love for each other, that the way we will behave, Peter has great confidence that if we do this well, then, well, as he puts it in one place, you can win people over without saying a word. He is expecting that our behaviour, that who we are, will provoke questions, that people will say to us, well, what is it, you know, that you people are celebrating? What is it that you hope for? So Peter is telling us that we should be ready, willing and able, whenever the opportunity arises, to be able to explain to people what our faith is about. He's not, by the way, saying to us, you know, you need to be some great Christian apologist who can give all the answers. He's not saying you need to be able to win the arguments. In fact, I think he's kind of thinking that by the time people are asking you, the argument will be already half won because they are asking because they see the difference that Jesus makes to our life. The thing that the world needs to see are Christians who really know what it is to love each other and to express that love in their relationships with other people. So Peter is assuming that opportunities will arise when people will say to them, well, what is this about? And Peter says to them, always be ready to explain your hope, but always do it in a gentle and respectful way so that you will have a clear conscience. What Peter is bothered about is not so much, are they good at explaining the faith? What he's bothered about is, how will they do it? And he says there are two things that are really important in terms of keeping our consciences clear. One is that we are gentle with people. We're not here to shout people into faith. We're not here to force people or manipulate people into faith. We are here always to try and be as gentle to them as Jesus would have been. Jesus says, come to me. I am gentle and I am meek. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And earlier on in the service, we were looking at this metal puzzle thing. Do you know how careful you've got to be when you are using this? A minute. Is it on? I think so. Sometimes you have to press it in to get it to work. Oh, there you go. How gentle, how careful you have to be to try and get the stick all the way around this puzzle without touching. Oh! Got almost halfway. Oops. How gentle you have to be. Suddenly I may have either improved that illustration or made it a whole lot worse by doing that. Be gentle, be respectful, he says. Do you know, when I look around Facebook and see the way that people love to insult one another, it's not gentle, it's not respectful. And the sad thing is that people who belong to Christ often are not gentle and not respectful. And in church, we are to learn to be gentle with each other. Learn to try and be careful with each other so that we don't hurt them. And you know, as we try and explain the gospel to people, as we try and teach people about it, we cannot expect that they are always going to be gentle and respectful to us. It won't be that way. Sometimes people won't be gentle. Sometimes they will laugh at us. Sometimes they will mock us. Sometimes it will be worse than that. Sometimes they will be abusive towards us. But what this scripture seems to me to be saying is, this isn't about winning an argument. The battle that has to be won is the battle for who can be the most Christ-like. And the way that we are to show our Christ-likeness is through being gentle and respectful to each other. And even more so, perhaps, as we meet those outside the church who are not always gentle and respectful towards us. You know, different Christians have different approaches to talking about Jesus. There are some who will talk about Jesus at the drop of a hat. They will try and twist every conversation to talk about Jesus. There are some people you have to drag it out of them, and even then they probably won't say very much. But what Peter cares about as he writes this is the character of the Christian. And next time you get an opportunity to talk about Jesus, don't gauge it by how well did I explain it. Don't gauge it by did I convince them. Gauge it by was I gentle? Did I show respect? Because that's how we keep our conscience clear. The other reference to conscience in this passage is later on where he's talking about baptism. Now, those last few verses of 1 Peter chapter 3 are rather obscure to us. They're rather obscure because Peter is quoting a book which was popular at the time, but which is not in the scripture. It's a book called 1 Enoch. It talks about things in Genesis 6 and gives a lot more detail on them. So these verses do seem a bit strange, but he talks about the flood, the flood at the time of Noah, and he says this flood reminds us of baptism, and baptism now saves you. It saves you through the resurrection of Jesus as the pledge of a clear conscience. So there's lots of wonderful stuff about baptism there. If you haven't been baptized as a believer, please do have a word with me after the service. Let's celebrate our faith together. You know, when Peter writes to these people, he assumes that they are all baptized. And what kind of happens sometimes in churches, we get this strange idea. First you become a Christian, then you get baptized, then you join the church. No. Baptism is the sign that you have become a believer in Jesus, and baptism is the entry point into the church. And in New Testament times, they had no other way of doing it. Anyway, I've gone off the point I was trying to make there. He's saying in baptism, you are making a pledge that you will seek to keep your conscience clear. The word that is translated there sometimes as pledge, or it's translated in this translation here as appeal. It's a word that talks about an intense desire for something. That as we come in baptism, we are saying to the Lord, Lord, I want to follow you, I want to serve you, and I want to do it in a way as far as I can that keeps my conscience clear. Baptism is not just about coming to God and getting your sins forgiven, although wonderfully it is about that. Baptism is about saying, Lord, I want a real relationship with you. I want to know you. I want to serve you. I want to trust you. I want to honor you. I want to respect you. I want to live for you. And Lord, although I know that I'm not going to do it perfectly, and although I know I'm going to trip up a lot, I'm going to do as much as I can to say, Lord, I want to live before you with my conscience clear. So if you've been baptized, that's what you signed up for. You signed up to be part of his family. You signed up to use an image that is used elsewhere in the New Testament. You signed up to be part of a body connected to every other part of the body. And I find it really interesting that when on the one hand he talks about baptism as saying, right, this was your pledge to God for a clean conscience, that the specific example that he gives about keeping that clear conscience is about how we talk about our faith. Be clear about it, but gentle, respectful. Even if you feel the person you're talking to doesn't deserve respect, always do it that way. So this week, I want to encourage us to practice being gentle, to try to treat people as Jesus would treat them, to try to tame any desire that we have to hurt somebody, to try to control our anger, to put it simply, to try to be nice to people. If we need to speak the truth to someone, to seek to do it genuinely in love and in a way that respects the character of Christ. And to do these things, not just because they are good things to do, and not just because by doing them we represent Jesus well, although that is definitely true. The reason that we are to do these things is because Jesus won. Baptism saves you, Peter says, through the resurrection of Jesus. It's because of Jesus that all of this works. We're fast approaching Good Friday and Easter Sunday soon, when we will remember that Jesus died upon that cross for us and that Jesus rose again for us. You know, one of my atheist friends put a thing on Facebook this week about Christians believing in a ghost. And I did, after a couple of exchanges, get him to admit that Christians do not think that Jesus was a ghost. We believe in the resurrection of the body. And Jesus rose from the grave. He goes to be Lord of all the earth. That's something that's stressed again and again and again in the New Testament. Jesus is raised into the position of supreme power before God. As it says in the last verse of our reading today, with all the angels and authorities and powers bowing before him, Jesus is raised to that point. And his resurrection means new life for us. As Peter says in the first chapter of this letter, we have been born again through the resurrection of Jesus. And we become his children, and we seek to learn what it means to follow him. And the message that Peter is giving us strongly but gently here is, Jesus won. Look at him. Look at him forgiving the people who crucified him. Look at him going to the cross, worried about the people who are around him and what was going to happen to them. Look at this one who was gentle and who was meek, but who was crucified in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit of God. We have faith in the victory of Christ. We have a gospel message. It is a message about a Savior who is alive today and who will come and indwell and live in all who will follow him. And who says to us today, given all that I have done for you, I call you to represent me well. Let's practice gentleness within the church. Let's practice respect within the church. Let's practice it when during this week we meet those who treat us badly. Let's make those who do not like us sorry or even ashamed of their own behavior. And let it be that on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed, as we saw in the earlier parts of this letter, that people will have to look at the church and admit that it was the church that reflected Jesus. So be practical this week. Put that email in the drafts folder before you send it, if you think it might hurt. Walk away from a conversation if you feel angry. Count to 10 before you speak. Whatever it takes, we are here to reflect the character of Christ. And so our reading today starts off with a number of very practical instructions. They really don't need too much explanation. They just need to be noted. All of you be of one mind, full of sympathy towards each other. Gentleness comes from sympathy. Let's see if we can up our sympathy levels this week. Let's see if we can understand better what people are going through. Love one another with tender hearts. Say to the Lord this week, Lord, soften my heart. What was it the old song say? To feel your compassion, to weep with your tears. Humble minds. Minds that care about other people. By the way, I came across a great definition of humility. The word's used in very different ways by different people. But somebody said, if you see a group shot of people and you're in the picture, what's the first thing you notice? Do you notice the picture of you? Do you think it's a good picture if you are presented well in it? Or are you looking at the whole of the group? Let's be humble together. Let's not be so full of ourselves that we don't realize that church is about us rather than being about me. Don't repay evil for evil. You know, it's a human instinct to want to do that, but it's not what Christ would do. We are not here to hurt people who hurt us. Don't retaliate when people say unkind things about you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. And as it says in a very similar passage in Paul's letter to the Romans, overcome evil with good. This is what God wants you to do, and let's not pass over this verse, and he will bless you for it. If you want to live in God's blessing, if we want to live in that blessing, be Christ-like, be gentle, be respectful as he is. And then there's this wonderful quote from Psalm 34. If you want a happy life and good days, keep your tongue from speaking evil, keep your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Work hard at living with peace, living in peace with others. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their prayers, but the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. Great picture, the eyes of the Lord watching us. God is watching. He's seeing his family. He's seeing us together. He sees us making attempts to behave well towards each other, towards the world. And he looks down and he is pleased because we are his children and he loves us. And yes, we trip up often, we fail often, but we pick ourselves up again and we seek once more to seek to follow him. And Peter says this partly as a practical way of being in the world. Peter knows that sometimes you get treated badly and it's just unjust. But he also knows that we should not be being treated badly because of our bad behavior. Tragically, many times in church history, the behavior of the church has brought disgrace on the name of Christ. We are here for something different. We are here to give him glory through everything we do. Because he is the one who has gone to heaven. He is the one seated in the place of honor next to God. And all the angels, all the authorities, all the powers bow before him. Let's take a moment's quiet. I'd like to read you a poem, which is called Those Dry Bones Get Everywhere, by Dave Hopwood. These dry bones got everywhere, in the workplaces and job centres, in the homes and high streets, in the schools and colleges. Those dry bones get everywhere, in the shops and sports arenas, in the places of entertainment and the centres of leisure. Those dry bones get everywhere, sprinkling their lifeless dust, sapping energy and draining hope, confusing minds and sowing discontent. Those dry bones get everywhere. But so does the breath of God, and so does the hopeful life of the Spirit. Gentle and powerful, rushing and meandering, transforming radically, and little by little resurrecting, encouraging, stirring, comforting. Those dry bones get everywhere, but so does the breath of God. Father, come and breathe your breath upon us, we pray, that we can reflect you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.